ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Finally, high school basketball Never mind. Move back another day. We'll tell you what happened with the OSSAA and moving back the games again today. College hoops. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I watched college hoops two nights in a row.
You okay?
I'm a lot better today than I was yesterday because I saw something last night that was way different than what I saw the night before.
So good basketball?
Holy Moses, yes.
Really?
And it is going to influence my decisions coming up in the Western Oklahoma Realty bracket.
So that's what you're
way
doing.
Way more. No, no, no.
Scouting.
No, there was two teams that Wyatt wanted to watch, and we watched them both. And one of them, at least on one single night, on Thursday, the 24th of February, look way different than the one the night before. That's all I'm saying. And then, oh, by the way, one of the players on that team looked way different than the dude from the night before.
Ha.
Bedlam this weekend. Did he even know?
Listen, with all the stuff that's going on locally with our high school stuff, no, not really.
Did anybody even know that Bedlam's happening?
Yeah, they're both just kind of meh. Did you hear that? Blah. We're just kind of blah.
Sooners finally off the bubble on Joey Brackett's bracketology. It finally is this morning.
It's popped, huh?
They've been there the entire time. They're off now. But here's the deal. Everybody around them is losing a bunch of games, too. So, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at that, it's still possible. Just win a few games in a row and you'd be right back in the mix.
I got an opinion about that. Do you really want to be in it with...
You always,
right now.
You always want to make the NCAA tournament, Jared. Oklahoma State trash talking. That's the one thing that can make this game good, is a bunch of the Cowboys talking a little trash. And then, 21 years ago today, Jared, one of the most amazing feats in sports, one of the most amazing single pictures and moments happened. 21 years ago today.
Today.
Thank you, Hat Tip J-Mac, for reminding me, alerting me that this happened 21 years ago today.
Hey, I gotta ask you a question. Go ahead.
In a game that didn't count.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'll tell you what that is coming up here in a little bit. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If you know what I'm talking about, what happened 21 years ago today, text in 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple ways, kadsam.com, or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We'll tell you when those are going to be cranked back up here coming up shortly. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available, kadsam.com, or iTunes. Hello, Jared. You've got a question.
Well, you mentioned J-Mac. Is the drawing today?
Today at
for
five.
The beef? Do they have?
Today
I
at
saw
five.
Yesterday they were down to single digit tickets left for the baseball team, baseball boosters.
That's right. The drawing is at 5 o'clock today.
So you can Venmo. I mean, you don't have to find anybody. I mean, Venmo's so awesome. You can just. I'm looking. I'm efforting. I saw a Facebook post. They had 9 tickets as of 16 hours ago.
Well, we'll find
out.
You
trying to find out?
Yeah, we'll find out
if there's
any
one
left.
I'll jump on Venmo right now.
Okay, so that was your question?
Pretty much. Helping them out. They got one. I mean, this is it tonight, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock. The raffle for the beef. Two winners, I believe.
Two winners, yes. Drawing for half a beef, paid processing fee.
Not that I can find. You lucked out, Jared.
What?
No more
sold
tickets.
Sold out? Oh, darn. I apologize for not jumping on that. Slipped my mind. But that's great. They sold them all. 250 tickets sold. Boom. I'm anxious. I'm still going to watch. I think they're going to do it on Facebook Live.
I believe that's correct.
Drawing, I'm still going to watch, see who won it. So I'm going to go over to their house and eat some beef.
Hopefully they say, and the winner is Skinny.
Okay. Hopefully, because I know you can cook it well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Then we can, if that
we
does.
We could have a little celebration for our Big Oak TV award. There we go.
Yeah,
everything.
We haven't really put that out there as well as we probably should have. Why don't you say that?
I'm not a big guy that's going to stand on a mountain.
Oh, that's okay. You just kind of did it, so do it.
Well, you did it earlier. Big Oak TV. If you watch it, listen, what was really cool about that, we know a lot of people watch that particular broadcast because, it was a
four. Uh-oh, two left. I'm getting two left. I'm getting two left.
Oh, who's that from?
Another coach.
Oh, if I do it, and it's okay.
Possibly two left.
Okay. Possibly two left.
Unless Jay sold him, he said.
Well, I need a confirmation on this. Are they bending the rules for me?
No.
Are they trying to swindle me out of my money? Still waiting? You got the
bubbles?
We'll
find out.
Okay. No, anyway, so, we past, what, five seasons, we've broadcast Big Oak TV.
I think that's right.
Football broadcast, and this last season, it was probably the farthest the Big Oak football team has ever traveled for a football game. That might be a record itself. We've talked about a lot of records were broken this past season. I wonder if that's one of them. Going all the way to Grove, Oklahoma. 4-hour one-way trip. 4-hour plus.
It was five something.
Yeah. Anywho, so we really went up our game on that one because we felt like we'd
have a lot
of... Trying
to think if there's ever an Ida Bell trip or something like that would be the only thing that could be
Miami.
Close.
Yeah, you'd have to check it out. Have to check it out. But so we went, did what we do and broadcast the game, video broadcast it on BigElkTV.com, thinking, hey, you know, there might be a lot of viewers back at home because I don't know who's going to – well, we had a lot of people make that trip anyways. Anyways, every year we put in for consideration, not just with that broadcast, but with all of our properties and all of our production stuff to the OABs, Oklahoma Association of Broadcasters. Every year they have awards. And we've been really wanting the sports streaming. It's about the third year they've had that award.
It is. We were honorable mention
the first
time.
Year. Yeah. Nothing last year. Well, this year we got it. We got the best. We got the award to be, I don't know how to properly word it, but basically we got the,
don't get in trouble here.
The best award, the best of the best of the
live video streaming sports.
Live video streaming sports. Thank you.
Yes.
From the OAB. So not only did we have one of the best football teams in Class 4A, we also had the best video stream in the state, regardless of class. And that was thanks to you, to Candace, with our in-house graphics. That's what I'm really proud about, is that everything we've done was in-house. Graphically, commercials. You see what I'm saying? Obviously, our on-air content. Thanks to Hunter Hayes, our sideline guy.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
How about
Hayden?
Hayden. Hayden, am I saying
Loffer?
Loffer, mm-hmm. Our camera guy, who stepped up this
year. We had three. Drew started, and then it was Gabe, then it was Hayden Loffer.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And it was all pretty consistent.
Little broadcast secret. We did all that. We won that award with one camera.
Yeah.
One dang camera. What do you got?
If we get an extra, then we would Venmo the money back. List we got about 30 minutes ago, we still had two. So just fire off, and if it's too many, you'll get your money back, Jerry.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. Obviously, it helps to be able to – I think it helps the broadcast as it's going for the team to be fantastic, which it was.
Sure.
And so it's more exciting. You know, it's just the way it is. But I will say this, and this is one thing that I think for me – since we've been doing it, especially since, you know, you and I, what is this, the third year that you and I have kind of been the team on the air? Is this year three?
Yeah.
Year three or two? Two or three?
Well, I can't remember.
I can't remember. But anyhow, it doesn't make any difference. The one thing that I think I'm proud of is, yeah, the team was better this year, but I'm not necessarily telling you our broadcast was better. Now, we've improved no doubt, as far as the graphics and the things that we figured out we can do that we've never been able to do before. But as far as what we're putting out on a Friday night, week after week after week, I don't think, and I'm proud of this, we still did the same quality broadcast for the teams that went 0-10 as we did for the teams that made it to the semifinals. And that's one thing that I'm really proud about for us, that we can say that. You see what I'm saying?
Agreed.
So that was it's cool. It's definitely cool. You were you back-to-back on the news for the OAB, best newscast, non-metro division in the States. Congratulations. Two in a row. It's great.
Well, thank you. And that makes me wonder how many people actually threw. it's just nice. Yeah. It's
as long as there was one other that you beat, that's all that really matters, isn't it? no, but it's cool. It's super cool. Anyhow. Okay, so we thought we'd be able to, that product we're talking about, we'd be able to show today. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV.
Oh, well, yeah.
Thought that was going to be out and about.
Thought so.
And then 5 o'clock rolled around yesterday afternoon, and the edict came down from the OSSAA office that we're going to wait another day. Everybody across the state. And so all the Class A and B area tournaments are now Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. All the 2A through 4A regional tournaments are now Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. I think, you know, obviously out here, when you hear that, you look around and go, huh? What do you mean? Inclement weather. You know, wait a minute.
I explained this to my dad last night.
You got
to
be kidding me here.
Right.
The problem, and honestly, if this was a week ago, I don't think the same thing would have happened. And here's why. Because a week ago, it was district and regionals, right? And so what happens from region, you know, when you move, you're still in little pods, mm-hmm, in your part of the state for the most part. And so everybody moving from regionals to areas dealing with the same thing. So there's no real advantage in moving on. Now, because we're in the area tournaments for A and B, that means next week is state. That means everybody comes to the same place. So now what's happening weather-wise across the entire state matters more than it did a week ago. And so, you know, the case could be made that, you know, those teams, you guys, you know, the teams out here could have played yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so and that means that area is done on Saturday. Well, then down in the Southeast, they're not done till Tuesday. And now we all meet for the state tournament on Thursday. You know, that creates a pretty big advantage, I think, for the teams that got to be done first. Now, you know, 4A, 2A through 4A just get thrown into it, because if you're going to do it for one, you might as well just do it for everybody, right? You know, and so mm-hmm, I think it makes sense why it's happening if you look at the big picture. It makes zero sense why it's happening if you just look at our little tiny part of the state out here in western Oklahoma, right? Because we're looking around going, you got to be kidding me. It's like a normal day.
Right.
But that's not the case elsewhere. And so everything gets moved back a day, including next week's state tournament for A and B, which so the idea of having all the games in the big house, that is over for this year because of the time crunch. Now the tournament's been moved back another day. So originally, a Tuesday through Saturday state tournament. Jared, you get your wish. You wanted it to be 3 days, and here we are. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, A and B state tournaments next week, Big House, and then two sub-sites, Washington and Mustang High Schools. Washington High School, Mustang High School. I would assume, doesn't really lay this out, or I haven't seen it yet, I would assume those sites would just be used Thursday, and then we'll be back inside the Big House, everybody on Friday, like what it has been all these years with the eight games on all the semifinals inside the Big House on Friday.
So nobody at all on Thursday in the Big House?
No, Big House is there.
Right, right.
And then two sub-sites.
I was trying to rack my brain, whose turn is it?
Here, I think it's going to be, I think there, I
is
think.
It random?
I think there's going to be eight games in there on Thursday, too.
Oh, okay.
I do. You know, normally there's three sub-sites and the Big House.
Well, no, there's two.
There's just two.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And so that, I think there's going to be eight games inside the arena, and then
yeah,
four games at the sub sites is what I think is going to happen without knowing, and I haven't really seen that yet. And then everybody comes back for Friday, like it has been customarily for all the semifinals to be inside the arena, and then, of course, the four finals on Saturday. That's how I think it's going to look. Like I said, I haven't seen that. I don't know that to be the case, but just because there was only two sub sites, that's where it makes sense. And the goal anyway has been to get the most kids to play inside that arena since last year. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And so that would make sense to me. There'd be eight there and four at the other places.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, adjust, bend and adjust and move on. So, kudos to the OSSA to trying to make this work and keep it fair across the board.
Yeah, that's the word.
That's the key thing. It's the thing I had to keep explaining last night, was it's about being fair. I know we can get the cash. You can get to Kingfisher. Others can get to, Hammond can get the Woodward. Leedy can get the Woodward. But they're having some issues over there on the east side of the state, and it's got to be fair, and I completely understand. So I know it's been a crazy few days for the OSSAA. I can't imagine them trying to, they have to call all these sites, make sure everything, can we still use your place on a Tuesday, all that stuff. And kudos to everybody just adjusting and being understanding with everything and making this happen. Because at the end of the day, it's all about getting these kids and on the court and again, keeping it fair and getting them an opportunity to win a state championship.
And I think the good news and maybe a reason to push it back for today to tomorrow is when you look at the forecast, it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be up in the 70s next week. So it's not like you're trying to rush to get this in because you're trying to beat something next week, right? It next week looks, at least right now, it looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, you're going to be upset because you're going to be in a gym with me, and it's going to be like 70s. We should be out golfing, right?
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I know how you get on nice days when you have to be in a gym.
We'll see about that. Maybe we don't care about who wins that one game. Anyhow, so here's what the schedule looks like. Paragon TV teams for tomorrow, what our broadcast schedule is. So tomorrow, which is Saturday, 4 o'clock, the first game on Paragon TV will be Arapahoe-Butler and Laverne. So Arapahoe-Butler and Laverne, that's a girls' game at 4 o'clock, 3:45 pregame, followed immediately by the Indians, Arapahoe-Butler Indians against Sealing. That's a 5:30. So that's Class A Area 1 action from Enid. Also at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 4A Regionals on Big Elk TV and Cool 94. Elk City and Hera, girls and boys, 3:45 pregame for the 4 o'clock tip for the Elkettes and the Lady Panthers, followed immediately by Elk City and Hera on the boys' side. Then we go to 6:30. Do we have a 6? No, everything's 7. That's right.
Seven.
It's different times. So you'll be down to Cash for Class A Area 3 action, Canute versus Oklahoma Christian. That's the girls' game, followed by Canute and Calumet on the boys' side. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip for that one. And then also up in Fairview, 2A regional action, both on Paragon TV and right here on these airwaves, 98.1 FM and 1240 AM. It's Merritt-Watonga is that doubleheader, both games in the 2A regional winners bracket action. Merritt-Watonga girls followed by Merritt-Watonga boys. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip there up in Fairview. The matchup we know on Monday, Paragon TV up in Woodward, Class B, Area 1, Area Finals. Winner goes to state. Hammond and Arnett on the girls' side at 6:30, followed by Leedy and Mountain View Godibo on the boys' side at 8. So we know those matchups. We'll update everything on ParagonTV.com Facebook page as we know the winners tomorrow for what the schedule looks like on Monday. Obviously, for you guys, the area teams that play tomorrow, that's consolation bracket side. So win, you move on. Lose, you go home for both Arapahoes, both Canutes. Tomorrow, Elk City's in that same boat as well in the 4A regional. Clear as mud.
There we go. Everything like you said on our Facebook page, we've been doing our best to keep that updated. That makes it a little bit more easier for those more with local interests, so you don't have to go and fill out a bracket and try to map it out. We got it mapped out for you.
With also links straight to the games as well.
Yes.
So you go on the Paragon TV Facebook page. You can see what the matchups, the broadcast schedule is for the Paragon teams that day, and you can click on it, and boom, it takes you right there to it. So, also the state wrestling tournaments this week.
Yeah. That too. Yeah, and we got some guys local, don't we?
Yeah, they're there. Hey, when Hunt called me yesterday about the basketball changes, he's like, I don't know what they're going to do with wrestling. My guys are already there. Sent them up yesterday afternoon. That hasn't really changed since the first change, if that makes sense. Today, what is it, 3:30 weigh-in for the boys, 4 o'clock weigh-in for the girls, and then the wrestling gets started inside State Fair Arena at 5:30. So they pushed it back some hours. But not days. So the wrestling tournament, once it got changed, I believe it's still – oh, no, actually, let's see. Yeah. Friday weigh-in, 3:30 for the boys, 4 for the girls. Wrestle-in matches begin at 5:30. First-round matches begin at 7 for all classes.
There we go.
And, oh, here we go. Shout-out to 4 Beckham County shotgun shooting sports kids headed to St. Charles, Missouri to compete against college teams – and the Trap, Skeet, and Sporting Clays. Area teams are ramping up. Mason Tucker's one of those, I know. We had Bregan Barnett in here with the FFA week out at Merritt. She's a fantastic shooter. Mason was in here Wednesday with the Sarah FFA.
Yeah. Cool.
Mason was a champion young gun, 22 rimfire match in Stillwater last weekend.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, there's lots of good shooters. And as I always say, I think both Barnett girls have been like right up at the top of this.
Yeah.
It makes it easy on BJ because he doesn't – I mean, they can take care of themselves.
Yep.
Somebody gets – you know, the boys start doing stuff they don't need to, they'll shoot them.
Yeah.
And they won't miss. That's the hard part, right? No, it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
There's an amazing amount of participation in that, and it's awesome.
Yeah, there is.
It is.
There
it is, awesome.
Is. A lot. Yeah, you mentioned spring content. But as soon as basketball's over, it's going to be boom. Baseball, softball, soccer, track.
Golf.
Golf. Oh, yeah, golf. A lot of stuff.
Oh, you mean for high school. I thought you were talking about for me. Coming up this weekend, it's something that used to get the blood flowing around these parts. Not quite as much anymore, and that is Bedlam basketball in Norman. Round 2, Oklahoma State won round 1 up in Stillwater. The Cowboys have beaten the Sooners 4 straight games in the series. See if Oklahoma can snap that. Oklahoma now off the bubble completely. If you look at Joey Brackets, Joe Lenardi there on ESPN's website, you don't see them in the first 4 out or next 4 out. And they've been a team that really kind of fell from in to out in a week with the way that Oklahoma's lost, what, 11 of 13, 4 or 5 straight again. It just hasn't been very good down the stretch for Oklahoma. Oklahoma State on the other end has really kind of picked it up as they've gotten toward the end of their season, obviously with the sanctions, and there's no Big 12 tournament coming, no NCAA tournament coming. So when you listen to the Cowboys yesterday, I saw a bunch of different media members tweeting out some quotes from OSU's guys, and they're playing up the big brother, little brother, except for it's the other way. As now that they won 4 straight in the series, Oklahoma is the little brother. So, you know, that's – to be real honest with you, Oklahoma State can't go to the tournament. Whether or not they would or not with their season, that's debatable. You know, they could obviously do some damage in the Big 12 tournament if they were able. They're not. So these last couple of games really are kind of like a Big 12 tournament for them in a lot of ways because they know their season's going to be over come next weekend. For Oklahoma – this game has lost luster because they just haven't been any good. You know, what was a promising start to Porter Mosier's first season has fell apart in Big 12 play, partly because the conference is good and partly because Oklahoma isn't very good. It's just the bottom line. And you know, the Harkless injury made it even stand out even worse. They've just disintegrated without him to the tune of, what, 42 the other night against Tech. It was the lowest scoring game for OU basketball since 2004 down at Texas. You know, before that, it was like the 50s when there might not even been a shot clock. So, you know, it's been a pretty drastic fall for grace for OU. It seems like, what, 13-3 was a long time ago, or 12-3 was a long time ago after starting out the Big 12 schedule pretty good. It's fallen off the map. You know, this is one of those things that it's just, I don't know why. There's lots of reasons why. But a Big 12 basketball, or a Big 12, Bedlam basketball was one of the best things on the sporting calendar of the year. For years and years and years, when you think about Billy and Eddie, then yeah. Kelvin and Eddie.
Yeah.
Especially in that period of time.
It was late 80s, 90s.
All the way through, you know,
growing up with it
mid 2000s.
Yeah.
What has happened? Like, if you had to rank the reasons why this series isn't as entertaining or even as nasty as it once was, if you had to rank, say, the top three reasons why it's kind of fallen down the pecking order, would those look?
Locally or?
I mean, for Bedlam basketball, just for you. Because it's
Why has it fallen?
Why has it fallen?
For Bedlam basketball, well, if the teams aren't good, the product's not good, it's just not good, okay? Let's face it. You mentioned the OU's problems, OSU's. Let's face it, they've had issues too this year. Trouble closing out games, offensive identity, not making the NCAA tournament, and motivation. So, particularly this year, there's that. For honestly, I think we can date it back to when the NBA made its entrance into the state. The interest has changed a little bit. You're having attendance problems, not just for Bedlam, but for any game when the hot ticket in town, when the Thunder are good, and you have to choose, you know, to an average family in Oklahoma, you can't go to every game, and you have to choose between going to one event over another. I think the Thunder kind of pull fans out of the college arena into their arena. That's the problem with small market in the NBA and in Oklahoma right now, is I think that's part of it. And if the product, and then coupled with the fact that, you know, OU's trying to get back to deep playoff or deep tournament runs, OSU's in the same boat. If they're not good, and there's options to do something else, that's what fans are going to do, and the product's just not that good right now. I'm not saying it's going to be like that forever. I'm not saying that the Thunder's going to kill college basketball in the state. I think both schools have the coaches, despite what some might say over in Stillwater, especially everyone's already calling for Boynton to be fired. I think that is a little premature. I think they both have the coaches to bring it back to those Eddie and Kelvin days. You just got to give them time. But right now, it's just not there. It's just not. It's just not fun to watch. It's just bad basketball. And I'm just being patient with both schools that I think they can get back up to being one of the top teams in the Big 12 and giving us some really good Bedlam basketball games. This year, it's just not it. A lot to handle there. I'm sorry. I think the Thunder has some. I think the NBA has something to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think you can go back to when they first got here. It was the hottest show in town, even though they're winning not a lot of games, that being the Thunder. And I think the attention kind of turned. We're a pro city now. We're a pro state now. And that's kind of turned that attention away from the college game. You know, some would say, well, what about the football? Well, football is not really competing with the NBA. They overlap a little bit as far as the seasons are concerned, but football's always going to be king in this state, both with OU and OSU. They're going to fill the stadiums every Saturday. And the Thunder, I think, have been real good to try to not schedule home games on Saturday nights during football season. I've noticed that. I think we've all noticed that. But when it comes to the basketball season, it does overlap, and I think it does pull the draw away from the college game, especially if the college game isn't that good right now.
I think it's football first and foremost. Meaning, I think back then, Oklahoma was a football school. Oklahoma State, I don't know that they had that identity yet. When you think about it, you know, mid to late 90s, early to mid 2000s, everything changed in Stillwater, and rightfully so, with the way college athletics have gone. And I think this is the one thing that Mike Holder doesn't get enough credit for, and that is seeing the landscape and seeing the vision in front of him and not being stuck right now when he was able to start making deals with Boone and putting the money into football and trying to turn it into a football school because football was going to control college athletics. The visionary path that he put Oklahoma State on back then cannot be understated, and I think it is understated. I don't think he gets enough credit for that. But at the same time, with putting that investment into something different, there's always going to be a loss. And to me, the loss was the dragging down of importance of Oklahoma State basketball. I mean, OU has always had these troubles. They either are, if they're awesome, the stands are full.
Yeah.
If they're not, nobody, I mean, not nobody goes, but they're it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? When they're just okay, that's the way it's always been in Norman, but it hasn't in Stillwater. And when you couple the football, the turning into more of a football school or to a football school, then also the doubled the size of Gallagher Iba when it didn't need to be that big.
Yeah.
You know, if that's a 9,500 seat arena going from the, what, 5,600 or whatever it was up to like 9,500, then it doesn't look near to the level that it does now at 12,600 or whatever it is. I mean, my Lord, there's outside of Kansas, OU, and Baylor or whatever, and just on a normal Tuesday night, there's no one in that top bowl. Like, the old one could maybe house everybody type of thing. And so, you know, you overbuilt that arena by, gosh, 3,000 seats probably. But at that time, that's what was happening. You know, that was the lack of vision, I guess.
At that time, it was bigger is better.
That's
right.
We
got to go big. We got it.
That's exactly right.
It's always an arms race, but at that time,
it was more seats.
They felt like it was archaic, and we got to improve it, and we got to make it bigger and better.
Well, and that was
wasn't necessarily the case.
It was also the beginning of, hey, we need suites.
Yeah.
And that's becoming more and more of a thing. And, you know, even the Thunder have taken 1,000 or so seats out for more amenities like that. And that's obviously the biggest issue with Lloyd Noble is the fact that you come in from the top, go straight down. Well, if you want to do anything from restroom to food to whatever, you have to go all the way back up. There's no middle concourse. You know what I mean? It's all up. So that's, you know, the designs there didn't help. But I think it's football first and foremost because Oklahoma State made that commitment, and rightfully so, and it's done. It's made Oklahoma State's brand as an athletic power higher than it was ever going to be by just being a great basketball team or a good basketball team. Number two, I think, is Thunder. I don't think there's any doubt that coincided. A little bit of dip from OU and OSU coincided with the Thunder's rise, clear to the NBA Finals at one point. And the problem for the schools is these last couple of years, the Thunder in transition, but they're not taking advantage of it. They got what they got on the floor right now, which is just horrible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't – you're not wrestling back anything from the Thunder right now. And if you don't watch it here in 2 years, you're not going to be able to, because then the Thunder are going to be back on the rise, and it's going to be too late. And then number three – actually, I would probably put two, just the teams have gotten worse. The basketball, the product. And it's not just the Bedlam schools. It's just college basketball as a product has gotten so much worse.
Yep.
And there's lots of reasons for it, and these two have done that. They've just it's not even sometimes when they're good teams, it's not even fun to watch. And so I think you couple all those things in there, and nobody even realizes that at noon tomorrow in Lloyd Noble Center, you're gonna have Bedlam basketball, which is sad to me because that was one of the coolest things on the sporting calendar because you got it twice, one in each arena.
Yeah.
Now, having said all those negative things about college basketball, I want to tell you something. Last night, I saw...
Final thought on Gallagher, but do you think wrestling pulls more fans than basketball right now?
No.
Don't think so?
No. I mean, not...
And on the other side, do you think gymnastics pulls more fans than basketball probably, at OU?
Probably. Are the women outdrawing the men?
I can guarantee you they're going to softball games more than basketball games right now, Norman.
Good. Well, there's not as much room, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, percent capacity.
I would actually.
I mean,
I would actually.
OU basketball's getting 9,000 people. The softball ain't getting 9,000 on a normal day. but I mean, if you go percent capacity, oh yeah, it's 110% at the softball, and about 60 at the basketball or 65.
Yeah.
Now, that's bad. You know, it's good. Gonzaga and Chet Holmgren.
Oh,
dude.
You're back on this now. Okay.
Dude, that first half last night of Gonzaga, San Francisco was off the charts. It was run up and down the floor, shoot it, space. It was 52-42 at halftime. San Francisco had been unbelievable. The Dons of Bill Russell had played. They would have been ahead, I'm going to say, of every other team in the country after playing that way in the first half against Gonzaga last night. And you looked up, and they were down 10. And Chet Holmgren, I watched Paolo Banchero the night before for Duke. He went 2-for-13. He made some free throws, scored 8 points. But
you were not impressed.
Not impressed. Chet Holmgren? Whoa. Now, listen. He is skinny. I mean skinny at 7 foot tall.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night he had 21 points, 15 rebounds, 6 blocks, 8 of 12 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, made 3 of his 4 free throws. And 2 different times he grabbed the rebound at 7 foot tall, mind you, grabbed the rebound on the defensive end and just took it down the floor and dunked it on the other end.
Wow.
I hate to make this comparison because I don't know if he plays the same way. But their body and their ability to actually shoot, you know who he'll remind you of a little bit? In college only.
Okay.
In college, if you can remember back when he played at Texas, the way he played at Texas, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Now, I have no idea if he can shoot the NBA 3. Durant even looks skinnier than he does in a lot of ways. But, you know, Durant could shoot from the outside, but he played more in the lane, a little bit more at Texas than he does now, obviously. And I'm not saying, but if the Thunder have a choice between Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren in a one-game sample size for me,
bet on
I'm
Chet.
I'm taking Chet Holmgren.
Bet on Chet.
That dude looked awesome. I mean awesome. And Gonzaga was a blast to watch. Like, at halftime, Mark Few didn't talk. It was the assistant that talked to Molly McGrath on the floor going into the halftime locker room. And she's like, all right, you're up 10. What do you got to do to keep that lead or build it? And he said, we have got to take a shot before 10 seconds of run off the shot clock. And I was like, whoa. Really? He's like, we got to push it and push it and push it and shoot. And that's what they did. They scored 89 points. And I don't know if they scored more than about 3. They might have had 5 after the last media timeout at 4 minutes.
Watching highlights right now.
Chet Holmgren looks awesome. He's skinny.
Yeah,
and I listen.
Yeah, he is.
And listen, San Francisco is a tournament team.
He looks like, what was that old slender man? I mean, just tall and lanky. That whore thing. And I'm sure, you know, he'll get meat on his bones. But this is exactly what Durant looked like at Texas.
But he doesn't get shoved around like you'd think he would.
No.
Chet Holmgren, man. Now, listen, I don't know if he's that good every night because I've seen Gonzaga.
Well, you know, he clearly got pumped up for the Dons.
The Dons are a good team. They're absolutely a tournament team. 22-8. They're like number 21 in the net ranking. They're not terrible. And they played pretty good last night. And they got beat by 16. Might be an early look at my Western Oklahoma Realty champion in the bracket challenge. Okay, have you figured it out?
No, I 21, tried to Google it. I couldn't find anything.
21 years ago today, one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in sports happened in a game that did not count.
Help me out.
That's the clue.
You have to help me out.
All of the forces of the universe that had to come together at the right time to see what we saw in Arizona happened 21 years ago today in a game that did not count.
I'm lost. Is this college basketball?
No.
I'm lost.
Major League Baseball.
Oh.
21 years ago today, a 90-whatever-mile-an-hour fastball out of the left hand of Randy Johnson disintegrated a bird in a spring training game.
That was 21 years ago today.
It's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in sports.
Well, that's one sports history thing I don't think I would have ever thought of.
J-Max, he's the one that clued me in to that.
Does he have this written down on a calendar? And
he just saw a picture. He saw a video of it and sent it to everybody.
Rest in peace, bird.
Think about if you're the bird.
No. Don't want to think about if I'm the bird.
You're like, man, you're just kind of tootling around in the air.
It's like, hey, look at that. There might be some popcorn down there.
Yes.
Maybe some sunflower seeds. Cracker Jacks. It is a baseball game.
You go, do-do-do-do-do. I'm the luckiest bird in the world. I live in Arizona.
It's February.
It's February.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous out. Ooh. Oh, look at there. Big unit. Let's go watch him throw. He'll probably throw an inning or so. Let's see if we can't see how close we get. Just see how hard he throws that thing. And then all of a sudden, that's the last thing you think. Your feathers are scattered all over the field.
Oh, no.
Your head goes out the wrong end because you just get blown up. And if you're Randy Johnson, you're like, whoa, what in the world?
Yeah, the story is Randy Johnson is not to the level of like PETA, but a real animal lover. And that, he was, not to say devastated, but that he did not like that. He was kind of depressed after he killed that bird with his fastball.
You know what else he didn't like? I have personal experience on this one. You know what else he didn't like?
What's that?
Spring training 1996, a bunch of Big Elk baseball players yelling at him to get a autograph as he got out of his giant Jeep.
Did he snub him?
He said, yeah, us. Let's say us. He looked there and he goes, hey, kids, aren't you supposed to be in school?
That sounds like Randy Johnson.
Really, Randy?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, when we were watching Jay Buhner and Ken Griffey Jr., they were cool to us as they went around practicing. Yeah. Hey, kids, don't you think you ought to be in school?
He cares about
parked
education.
In a flower bed. That's right.
He cares about education.
Yeah. He didn't care about the Big Elks that day, that fine day in March.
Oh, man. You
know what's crazy about that trip? It was sunshining. I can't remember if we had practiced that morning. We actually did get to practice one morning. Supposed to play in a baseball tournament in Phoenix. And on the way to the first game, it starts raining and hailing, and it never quit raining. We left.
Oh, man.
We left like a day and a half early
because
it wouldn't quit raining.
It never rains in the desert.
It was record rainfall for Phoenix.
Darn.
And we were out there.
Well, darn. Well, they might have you back. Probably wanted you to come back if you're going to bring the rain. Make it rain.
Must be talking about Randy Johnson at spring training.
A lot exactly of bad memories. You just
everybody remembers it. I know that. Let's run back down the schedule, I guess.
Who do you think had to pick up that bird?
Man,
I'm watching a video. I mean, that bird was gone before it hit the ground.
Yeah.
There's no flopping in it when it nothing.
Oh, it was gone, literally. I wonder if it stuck to the ball.
Oh, the feathers
are just part of the body innards, or whatever.
Yeah. Poor bird. Anyways, what were you saying?
So I guess we could run down the schedule one more time.
Yes. So no games today. Just keep that in mind, everybody. If you are traveling to Cache or Woodward or Kingfisher, you're in for a disappointment.
Yeah,
not that there's anything wrong with those communities, but if you go to the gyms, it's going to be locked up.
You might be able to take in practice.
Yeah.
For those teams.
Yeah.
Because they're all still playing.
Yeah.
So, no games today. Wrestling tournament still on. 3:30, the boys weigh in. 4:00, the girls weigh in. The wrestle-in matches start in the big house at 5:30. Then the first-round matches start at 7. So we do know that is still in effect. So for tomorrow on the Paragon TV, 3:45 pregame ahead of the 4:00 tip. It is elimination game in Class A Area 1 up in Enid Arapahoe-Butler versus Laverne on the girls' side, followed by Arapahoe-Butler and Sealing on the boys' side. Those 4 and 5:30 are the tip times. Back-to-back games there in Class A for Arapahoe-Butler. At the same time, that's Paragon TV. Then at the same time, Big Elk TV, Cool 94 for radio, for a regional consolation bracket action elimination game here as well. It's Elk City versus Hera on the girls' side, Elk City versus Hera as well on the boys' side. 3:45 pregame for the 4 o'clock tip for the Elkettes and Lady Panthers. Then we go to the nighttime on Paragon TV. Jared will be in cash. Canute and Oklahoma Christian Academy girls, that's Class A Area 3 consolation bracket action. When you move on to Monday, you lose, you will be on to softball. And then Canute and Calumet, the boys' game is scheduled for 8:30. So it's 7 o'clock, 8:30, 6:45 pregame for Jared and Canute, 6:45, 7 o'clock tip, Class A Area consolation action. At the same time, right here on these airwaves, 98.1 FM and 1240 AM, plus Paragon TV, Class 2A regional winners bracket action from Fairview. It's Merritt and Watonga, girls and boys. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip for the Lady Oilerettes and Lady Eagles, followed by the Oilers and the Eagles at 8:30. That's what we've got going on Saturday. We know we'll have Class B area championship games on Paragon TV from Woodward Monday night, 6:30 and 8. 6:30 is Hammond and Arnett on the girls' side. The boys' game is Leedy and Mountain View Go-To-Bo. Depending on the results tomorrow, we could have a ton more action as well. Some of it will be in the Class A stuff would be during the day because it would be a 1:30 and a 3. I know Elk City would be at night. I would have a feeling Merritt, without looking at the bracket, I'd have a feeling Merritt may be during the afternoon if they don't win. If not, if they win, they won't play. Let me effort that right quick. That's right. Yeah, they'd be 1:30 and 3 if they were not able to knock off Watonga. So keep you up to date. Paragon TV, Facebook page. That's where all of this action's going to be. Or all the broadcast schedules are going to be. And, by the way, you would also have a link straight to the games.
Text line made me giggle.
So do we, man. So do we. I'm free agent. As soon as Elk City gets beat out.
I'm a free agent.
Hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, you never know. No. And we actually called a Duke game one time.
We did at the state.
State tournament, yeah, against Payton.
Who knows?
That semifinal beatdown.
Yes.
That the Tigers put on the Pirates.
We were looking forward to that one for a couple weeks.
It was the nightcap. It was the 9 o'clock last game of the day on a Friday. And Duke had remembered losing that game the year before in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, they did not want to actually let that happen again.
I actually went to the after that game was over, I went to the Waffle House. And had a little supper. And some Duke fans rolled in from the big house. And I got to talking to them. I said, so, I mean, how long had you wanted to play them again? And they said, as soon as they got on the bus.
Yeah.
From UConn the year before. Was ready to, wanted every part of playing Payton again. And it looked like it.
Well, that's one of those things, you know, they probably had the score pasted up in the locker room. And
oh, yeah.
And motivation all season long.
And if we're being honest, the year before, Duke had no business losing that game. They had it in control and just kind of let it slip away.
Yeah.
But the next year, they won the state title, so everything, it was all good in Duke land. They're both in the area finals as well. Looking to move on to the state tournament. We're getting closer. It's next week. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the sunny weather.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.